Cultured Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I started giving on that level so that God would owe me.
Whatever you do right now, don't you stop tithing.
Harvest responds only to seed, not to prayer.
This is not about material wealth. This is about God in His providence orchestrating all of history in order to bring about that which we need more than anything else, and that is to be rescued from God.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Go!
It's the Wretched Radio Mail Call Delivery Bag Q&A Infotainment Nationwide Extravaganza, featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here!
Ooh, this is Wretched Radio. Hope, hope, hoping you will send wretched stuff. Yep, we still use the email machine, idea@wretched.org. You want to be all technologically fancy? I don't even know if that was good grammar. You can text away 877-282-2337.
You know, Todd.
Oh boy, is this going to be a dad joke?
No, it's not. It was actually going to be me being honest and genuine with you.
So let me just make sure I've got this straight before you launch into this passive-aggressive attack without the passive part. So you don't normally speak forthrightly and honestly? So this is an exception to your conniving rule?
I admit I don't say thank you enough to you. And I want to tell you thank you.
For taking lion's mane?
No. I came home the other day and there was a beautiful bouquet of flowers.
Oh, yeah, right.
And to Todd, or to Jimmy from Todd.
It wasn't just from...
I was so touched.
Your pants are on fire. That was for Mrs. Hicks.
Yes.
How is she doing?
She's doing great.
Okay.
I think. It's touchy, just minute by minute.
Dude, how many years have you been married?
20. A little over 20.
Keep answering questions like that. You might not hit 21. That was a little bit shady. Please text away 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a text from Anonymous. Todd, I was wondering if there is any scripture that speaks of sorrow in heaven, missing the loved ones who are not saved.
Yes, you're not going to have it. No more tears. No more sorrow. You won't have those feelings. Anything, gone. Now, does that mean you won't remember them? The answer is no. You will fully have the mind of Christ. Not that you will be exalted to divine status, but you're going to get it. You're going to get justice. You're going to understand the rightness of hell. You will agree with God's verdict that He renders on everybody who has refused to repent, who practiced evil deeds, who did not bow the knee to King Jesus. You're going to say, that was right. And I am rejoicing in God, my Savior. We're going to have fixed brains. I think it was Al Mohler who wrote a description of all of the ways that original sin affected our brains. And I think he had like 10, 15 demonstrations of the noetic effect of the fall. Our brains, look, we can do some cool stuff. We're image bearers. We still have some function. I don't know where it's at. I guess, what did people say? You only use 10% of your brain. I think that's been debunked. But I don't know what the percentage of our brain is that is still healthy and capable of creating really groovy things, being able to fly rockets into outer space for nefarious purposes, nevertheless, making cars and comforts. Okay, so it's funny. Sunday at Alpharetta Bible Church, after church, we had a meeting for those people who were interested in church membership. And we wanted to practice gracious hospitality. So we provided, and when I say we, I mean people who are kind enough to go to wherever they went to get it. I was going to say Cub Foods. Wow. They don't have Cub Foods in Georgia, Todd. That's Minnesota. Cub Foods, they don't have a... Jimmy, they don't have a Cub Foods-like concept here, and I don't understand it. Nor do they have a Kowalski's, Byerly's, or Lund's. And unless you're from the Twin Cities, you have no idea what I'm talking about. The Cub is like a market. So the pallets of food, it's like a Costco. basically, except you don't have to buy an amount that requires a beast of burden to get it to your car. And then on the other end of the spectrum are these fine grocery stores. I mean, it's like, whoa, this is like the Tiffany of grocery shopping. It's amazing. They don't have those here. And it's Publix and it's Kroger. Pretty much the bag here. So wherever this fruit was purchased for the members meeting, and by whom, I don't know, but thank you, we got to bring it home because people didn't eat much of it. And we got to bring the fruit home. So we're sitting at our kitchen table eating fruit. And it was, we just don't appreciate this. We just do not appreciate this. It was all cut up. I didn't have to peel the pineapple, you know, do the thing and the getting the core out and all of that. Just popping it into my mouth like royalty. The grapes were crisp and everything was cold. And I remember thinking, David did not enjoy these types of delicacies. This is amazing. We have so many comforts. We have so many fine things that we frankly take for granted because we're born into this particular system. And these are all courtesy of human invention, obviously powered by God himself. But these are human advancements that have indeed helped with human flourishing. And I am grateful for those. But our brains, they don't even come close. And the list, Jimmy, type in Albert Moeller, noetic, N-O-E-T-I-C, effects, E-F-F-E-C-T-S, of the fall. And see if you can come up with that list. Our brains are dog's breakfast. They're just the sockets are like everything is wired poorly. Now, sanctification goes about rewiring our brains. But one day, when we're glorified, our brains are going to be fully functioning. Our brains are going to be thinking rightly, emotionally, willfully, morally, justly, everything. Within the kingdom of his might, lo, all is just and all is right, including your thinking, including your brain. And so should you in heaven even see a loved one at the judgment seat of God be, hear the devastating words, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I know this is hard for us. It's not going to make us sad. Now, I'm not sure it's going to make us like, woohoo, another one goes to hell, because I don't think that's the way God is. He doesn't delight in the death of the wicked. He's provoked. His sense, that's a horrible word. He is righteousness. He's justice. He must punish evil. He must. It is provoked. It's not something that he takes pleasure in. And I don't know that we will either. I don't think we will. But I don't think we're going to feel sad either. Because finally, our brains will be right. You find it, Jimmy?
I believe so.
All right, do the rundown. Here's, how many is it? Is it like 15?
14.
14, go.
Ignorance, distractedness, forgetfulness, prejudice, faulty perspective, intellectual fatigue, inconsistency, failure to draw right conclusions, intellectual apathy, dogmatism and closed-mindedness, intellectual pride, vain imagination, miscommunication, and partial knowledge.
Okay, you could have gone, you could have done like 33 and a third speed and it would not have been slow enough for us to drink that. No, really. Yeah. So just pick one of those. Inconsistency, I believe that was about number 8, give or take. Inconsistency in thinking. You don't always come up with the same conclusion with the same set of facts. Why? Because your brain's broken. That's just one example. You're not willing to think things through to the level that many subjects require. All of these are effects of the fall. Great news. You won't feel those effects in heaven. 877-282-2337.
All right, Drew was wondering, Todd, do you think it's biblically okay for a pastor to allow a church member to run their personal business in the basement of the church?
Hey, guess what I'm preaching on this Sunday? Jesus is turning over the tables, but you got to be careful. Got to be careful. Because it does appear there was a necessity of foreign currency exchange and the purchasing of animals because of the difficulty. I think it's Deuteronomy something. that talks about, you know, buying the animals in Jerusalem. The problem was they had turned it into a den of thieves. They had manipulated the system to their own financial advantage. They had turned religion into, you give this money, you get your sins forgiven. They were exorbitant rates, probably run by Annas and his sons. Isn't that an interesting twist? That's what historians think. This had become a marketplace of really corrupted capitalism. Jesus turned over the tables. So does that mean that your church can't sell books? Nope. Does that mean that your church might not even be able to have somebody from, because it just makes sense. I think this is 21st century, we struggle with this, that sometimes people just need a place to do commerce and it's efficient and it makes sense and it provides for their ability to provide for their family. That would have, I think, made sense to different generations than our rather lavish society. Just the same, I don't think it has to be a sin. Now, if it's corrupting religion, if it is turning grace into work righteousness, if it is turning God's house into a den of thieves, if there is illicit business going on there, then he'd turn over those tables. But I don't think necessarily that a bookstore or doing commerce out of a church has to be a sin. But you can hear the whole sermon at AlfredoBibleChurch.org. This is Wretched Radio.
Big news from Fortis Institute. You know how we have eight fellows already bringing you free daily content at FortisPlus.org? Well, starting February 7th, our very first fellowette will make her debut. Libby Glossett, one of the finest biblical counselors in the entire country, is coming on board. And you know, people might think we're trying to add a woman's voice to check some type of boxes or appease the feminists, but the truth is, we found one of this country's most incredible biblical counselors who just happens to be a woman. And her way of applying God's word to real life is extremely powerful. She'll be launching a weekly podcast and creating resources just for women. So if there's a woman in your life looking for solid biblical teaching, tell them to mark their calendars for February 7th and head to FortisPlus.org or go ahead and download Fortis Plus on their mobile device right now and be ready for Libby Glossin. FortisPlus.org.
The life issue. We cannot disengage from the battle. And there is a way that you can win a life and rescue a soldier who's about to be executed through abortion. Preborn.org/wretched. Ultrasounds still save lives. These pregnancy centers that progressives would love to shut down or arrest people for praying in front of abortuaries, they're still doing excellent work and babies are still being rescued. This is a tangible way to save a life. An ultrasound is $28. 80% of the time, mom chooses life. Want to engage in the battle? This ain't about politics. This is about saving those who are staggering to the slaughter, period. Preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched.
You ever notice how Christians sometimes dance around the J word? You know, judging. Yeah, we've gotten so scared of our culture that we're practically doing spiritual gymnastics trying to avoid it. What if I told you that righteous judgment isn't just some outdated concept? It's actually one of God's greatest gifts to protect his flock. That's why I'm fired up about our new resource, Thou Shalt Judge, with Todd Friel and Justin Peters. It's honestly judging how we judge. Listen, if you're tired of watching your loved ones fall for every wind of doctrine that blows through TikTok, this resource could be an answered prayer. 13 powerful lectures that will revolutionize how you view biblical discernment. Plus, because we love you, there's a free study guide included. It's time to stop tiptoeing and start standing firm. Your family and friends need you anchored in God's word now more than ever. At FortisInstitute.org. That's the Fortis store at FortisInstitute.org. Thou Shalt Judge with Todd Friel and Justin Peters.
Important dates in Christian history. 1675. German Lutheran minister Philipp Jakob Spener publishes Pia Desideria, which becomes a manifesto for pietism. While both Catholicism and Protestantism define the faith in largely communal and societal terms, Pietism emphasized the personal experience of being born again. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And let me return the gratitude, Jimmy. This is Wretched Radio. And thank you, Jimmy.
Oh, for what?
You set me up for that plug for Alpharetta Bible Church. .org. You can hear all of the sermons there. We don't record the full service, just the sermons. Don't ask me why. I don't know that there's perfect rules to this, and we don't even have video. It's just audio. But if you can endure that archaic way of consuming sermons, alpharettabiblechurch.org. Thank you, Jimmy.
Oh, you're so welcome.
877-282-2337 with questions, comments, conundrums, or snarks.
This is from Anonymous, who texted in, Todd, when the Bible speaks of the eternal torment of hell, is this torment just the nature of what hell is, or is God the one tormenting them?
Yes and yes. It's got to be powered somehow. Who's in charge of every molecule? God. We tend to think that hell is the devil's abode. No, it's only his abode in that that's where he's spending eternity, courtesy of Jesus Christ, who is going to cast him there with all of the demons. Hell is God's hell. I know. You think, no, hell, Satan, heaven, God. No, everything, God. He is pouring out wrath perpetually, consciously, on those who refuse to repent and practice evil deeds. And these people, by the way, that are currently in hell, they still hate God. And everybody who goes there for eternity, when their fate is sealed for forever, they will continue to hate God. They're not going to go, oh man, I really blew it. They're going to be curses. The gnashing of teeth could well be either from pain or just a grinding of anger, being incensed that God would do this to them. That's what's going to be going on in hell. How does it run? Got to be a power plant. Got to be somebody who's making sure that the gates stay locked. Got to be somebody who makes sure that that conscious torment is inflicted. Who is that? God himself. Don't trifle with him. Don't mess with God. Don't play with him. I think it was last Sunday's sermon. It maybe surprised our guests and visitors. Maybe even surprised some people who are members. But we were talking about Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, how humble it was the first time. I've always struggled to kind of harmonize. How is it that the people could be so supposedly joyful? You perceive, oh, they're really happy. Jesus is in town. And then days later, they yell, crucify him. So what's going on here? Because we tend to celebrate Palm Sunday with finery. We get dressed up. We buy the palm branches from probably some Christian distributor of church things, so that the kids can wave them, and it's a joyous day. I don't think it was. It was the Passion Week of our Savior as he entered Jerusalem on Lamb Selection Day to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This was not like whoop-de-doo. They're saying, Hosanna. What they were yelling is, save us! Save us! Hosanna in the highest! Really, really, save us, Son of David! So they were indeed acknowledging that they believed that he was a prophet. But were they recognizing that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God? No. So their praises were deficient. Their praises were also self-centered. Save us was the Hosanna. We tend to think it's hallelujah. Hosanna, Psalm 118, I believe, two words. It means to save. And I think like now, like do it. Make this better. What did they want saving from? The people who were oppressing them, known as the Romans. That is why they were happy to see this Messiah. They wanted him to throw off the yoke of Rome, but they didn't want somebody to die for their sins. So I don't think that it was a celebratory time like some people tend to think it is. That was basically the sermon. And it concluded with Revelation 19, when Jesus returns. When Jesus Christ returns, it ain't going to look the same at all. His entry into Jerusalem was relatively humble. Consider the inauguration we saw just this week. Even though it was brought indoors, presumably because it was too cold, presumably. Did you see the pomp? The circumstance? Did you hear the bands? Oh, by the way, Jimmy, did you see I won't say her name, an email from that young lady who said that she was going to be singing in the cadet choir at the inauguration? We saw her.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. She was a glory, glory, hallelujah. You know, the Elvis song, basically, they were singing. It was outstanding. It was so cool. There were choirs. There were bands. There was pageantry. Nothing like that for Jesus. Very modest, very humble. Then we concluded with Revelation 19 and verse 11. Now I saw heaven open and behold a white horse. And he who sat on him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire. And on his head were many crowns. He had a name written on that nobody knows except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And on his robe and on his thigh, a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Don't dawdle. Don't delay. Don't put off humbling yourself before the humble one, Jesus Christ, because next time you are going to be silent. You don't know what terror is. You don't know what fear is until you meet King Jesus. Repent, put your trust in him today, accept his terms of peace now, because he's the one who's running hell. Jimmy, you got a book recommendation?
Oh, yeah, from Erwin Lutzer.
Erwin Lutzer.
Yeah, his book, God's Devil, does a really good job of explaining that God's in control of hell.
I'm sure there's a quote in there from Martin Luther.
I'm sure.
The devil is God's devil. Mm-hmm. He's on a leash, but he's still God's devil because God's running everything. I was texting with Erwin the other day.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping he's going to be endorsing Greg Gifford's new book, Lies My Therapist Told Me.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that book when it drops. If you have been diagnosed with some sort of mental health moniker, or your kids, or people in your church, so this really applies to all of us. Think about getting this book. It's a whopper, I grant you. It's a big book, and it's not like a $4.90. It's not like a 99 center you might get at the Warnabit shop. Do they still have those? We used to when Jimmy was a kid. So might want to be preparing for that. But it is a book that is, I'm telling you, it's gonna rattle an awful lot of diplomas. It's gonna make some noise. It's called Lies My Therapist Told Me, potentially endorsed by Erwin Lutzer, who wrote God's Devil. 877-282-2337.
All right, Todd, this is from Anonymous. Todd, it was a classic case. Raised in a Christian home, baptized when I was 12, and then was born again at 16 when I realized that I actually wasn't a Christian and that Christ wouldn't tolerate my sin. Now at 20, I'm feeling convicted to receive a properly administered baptism, but it's causing strife with my parents who insist that I was saved way before I was. How should I respond?
I think you need to get counsel with your elders. That's what you need to do because they can dive into the details of this. I would be a very bad talk show host if I parachuted in from 1,000 feet to tell you this is what you should do, potentially contradicting your parents. Honor your parents, never fight with them, listen to what they have to say, take it in, but that doesn't mean necessarily in this instance that they're right. But you honor them through this. Do not dismiss it. Rather than seeing your parents potentially as like, hey, I've got this sorted. They're the best counselors that you have. Listen to them. But if you still find yourself going, but mom and dad, this is why I don't think that I was saved. You could meet with your elders, not like somebody's being brought up on discipline, but to simply work through it. I cannot tell you why it is so important for you to have a relationship with your elders. It is for your own good. These guys, they're there for this very, this is what they do. Now, it doesn't even need to be the elders. It can be other godly people in the church. That, by the way, is a recommendation. If you're struggling with something, whether it's a family issue, a decision issue, a morality issue, sin issue, whatever it is, before you go to the pastor, before you go to the elders, ask, are there some mature Christians who have specifically dealt with my issue who could walk alongside me? Start there. Start there. Going to your elders, they're there for this very thing, but that should be more like, the triage that we did out there didn't work. So this is like, whew, this is really reaching boiling point here. And if it gets to that point, then pursue your elders and walk through it respectfully with them. Glad you're noodling this, young man. This is Wretched Radio.